I mean, bird watching, that's got to be creepy for birds. I mean, what are we doing? These birds are just hanging out. We ignore them most of the time. Suddenly, some like couple from Ohio is just obsessed with the bird. Bird's like, what? Me? You happy? Piss off. What do you want? I wouldn't be surprised if the bird bath was invented by some sort of bird pervert. I mean, some guy's in his kitchen just looking out the window. Oh, yeah, splash around in there, bird.
TBTL.
TBTL coming across the airwaves full of love through the sky.
It's embarrassing and it's gross, but at least it's kind of funny.
This thing turns out to be half as important as I figured it just might be. I'd say that you're all in line for some important promotions and personal citations when this thing's over with.
You have to be it so we don't see it. You have to live it or we won't forgive it. You have to inhabit it. Or leave it in the cabinet.
Maybe this podcast is just too beautiful to live.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, all right, everybody. Here we go with a Thursday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
A lot of energy, a lot of motion, a lot of fun, a lot of high-fiving, a lot of smiles.
Those are all things that are going to happen throughout this episode of the show. My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
You want showmanship? You got it.
Coming to you from Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina, on the Outer Banks. It's hilarious. As I've been thinking about this trip down to the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and when I think about the words North Carolina, I can't get the Petey Pablo song, North Carolina, raise up, take your shirt off. Wave it round your head like a helicopter. I can't get that song out of my mind. It constantly comes up when I'm thinking about this trip. And as I was crossing the border from Virginia into North Carolina, and I'm staying at this little like motel by the beach, and across the street from me, there's like a little like small restaurant that has a stage where they have shows, you know, occasionally. And who do you think is playing on Saturday night at this small restaurant across the street from my small hotel? Petey Pablo. That's like you go to Seattle and Sir Mix-a-Lot and Macklemore are playing in the lobby of the you know, Arby's that you're at. I don't know if they have lobbies at Arby's anymore. So much has changed about the world just in the last few years, really, that that may not even be the case anymore. Here is the case, or the plan anyway, for episode 2712 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
We're going to talk about Mishka, the asthmatic otter at the Seattle Aquarium, who has had to learn how to use like a special asthma breathing device to help their lungs. And it's maybe the cutest thing I've ever seen or heard of.
Aww.
So we'll fill you in on that. Also, the Olive Garden had a special deal today at 2 o'clock Eastern time. You could go to the Olive Garden. Olive Garden's website, and you could try to sign up and pay $300 for a pass that would give you all of the Olive Garden pasta you could eat for 1 year for just $300. It was basically
unlimited
pasta. And I tried to buy the pass. I don't even really like the Olive Garden. Peace and love. I just, you know.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
It sounded like such a good deal, I couldn't pass it up. And I'm technically still on the waiting list. So I may accidentally buy an Olive Garden all-you-can-eat pass during the recording of this episode of the show. We'll do that. We'll do emails and V-mails. And we will talk to this young man. He's the longest-running Cobro of the show. He's straight gas, homie. And he's back at it again with the white Vans. He is Andrew. I'm finding his audio drop, Walsh, and he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Andrew, I had you as Andrew Fireball Walsh, but I can't find your fireball, so I'll just say he's Andrew.
Oh, explicit.
Hmm. Walsh, and he joins us now. I'm sorry.
No, let's try it another way. Let's do this. Why don't you do that whole thing again, but instead of playing a drop, just pause where the drop should be, and I'll insert my own drop. Yeah, here.
They'll never know because of how just seamless and subtle this whole thing has been. He's Andrew
Fireball
Walsh, and he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my co-bro.
Hey, I wanted to do my own. I was going to be like Andrew, the handsomest man in podcasting, Walsh. That's what I was going to go with. Do you have a drop that kind of indicates my handsomeness? Or are you working to not objectify me too much at the top of the show?
No, I'm actually, I'm oddly into objectifying you. Mm. I could play this one. He's Andrew.
You are handsome. Don't worry.
Walsh.
Yeah, yeah, I'll take that.
And he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington.
I do like that. That's a good one for me. I think it applies. How are things out there? Why did I think that? I shouldn't even say this because it's just embarrassing for me. But so you're in the Outer Banks. That's where your monster truck thing is. Why did I think that was in Florida?
You are not wrong, my friend. Oh. You're not only handsome. You're not only a handsome stranger, in like Ludacris.
Oh.
Buying. This is what happens when you find a Ludacris in the Alps.
Uh-huh.
I think is. The early front runner for a show title.
I would agree. I'm on board with that. I'm writing it down.
No, you're not wrong about that. So I am in. I'm on the Outer Banks. This is confusing because, like, when you're out on Long Island, you're not in Long Island. But if you're in New York, you're not on New York. I'm borderline doing a Seinfeld joke right now. I mean, this is actually a version of a joke that he did when he got started in comedy. But the question is, to me, a legitimate one, which is when you decide if you're on something or in something. So I think I'm on the Outer Banks right now.
Okay.
But I'm out here. I'm on these Outer Banks because Dennis Anderson, the guy who invented Gravedigger, lives out here. And I am going to interview him tomorrow. And we are going to hang out at his diner. He owns a diner called Digger's Diner. And it's all Gravedigger, you know, themed, whatever. So I'm going to interview them. Then I'm going to hustle off of the Outer Banks and then back to Norfolk, Virginia, which pronouncing that correctly is – I always feel like I'm being pretentious or weird, but I do believe it is Norfolk.
It's also just like, I don't know, do I have to beep that?
Right. It's right on the line. And then I fly down to Tampa, Florida, where I am driving the monster truck on Saturday. So you're not wrong at all. It's all related to the same thing, but geographically, you actually had it just right. Now there was almost a disastrous development with this whole TV story, which was the monster truck people from Feld Entertainment decided that it had been too long since I last tried to drive one of these things, and they needed me to get retrained. Because I think I'm actually driving Gravedigger. I mean, you know, like, again, a ceremonial lap around the arena. But so they needed me to come do a training session in Florida, and it needed to be on Friday. But that's the day that I'm supposed to be talking to Gravedigger guy, Dennis Anderson. And it was the whole thing was in disarray and was maybe not going to happen. And there was all kinds of issues, and then they worked it out. So there's a daytime show in Tampa and a nighttime show, and they're going to let me practice in between the daytime show and the nighttime show.
I think, you know, they often will tell you in situations like this to remember your training, but I think what happened in this case is they remembered your training, and now they're nervous to give you the keys.
Yes. Remember their training.
Is
what they need to do at Feld Entertainment. So that's what I'm doing out here. This is really cool. I'm very stoked about my hotel is, you know, it's nothing fancy, but it's just looking out on the sand dunes. And the view from my room is just like, it feels like I'm in the movie Prince of Tides or something. Like, it's just very beautiful, like the grass and all that. And then the beach in the far distance, it's lovely. I'm looking through some kind of storm shutter like windows. It's all very picturesque here, and I'm excited about it. I'm also trying to fight the urge to continue power eating these Tic Tac Fruit Adventure Tic Tacs. I bought some Tic Tacs the other day, Andrew, like strawberry flavored. I don't know what possessed me, but they were delicious. And I was like, why have I not been eating? Tic Tacs have no calories. They have no carbs. They're delicious and they're fun to eat. Why are we not eating more Tic Tacs?
I don't know.
As a family.
But can I out you and make fun of you about something in front of the listeners here? This is something that I think the listeners maybe can I don't know. I just want to bond with them over something, because you know how sometimes people will complain or let you know that they don't appreciate it when you eat and talk on the show.
Yes.
I would say you really took it up a notch today when I was trying to sound check you, and your version of sound checking was popping these things in your mouth and saying, and this is what it sounds like when I eat. And I'm like trying to balance the levels. I'm like, you know that chewing into a microphone and making clicky sounds with your Tic Tacs, that's not like, I don't know. I don't think that's how they do it at NPR. Now, you've worked at NPR, so you might know better than me, but I'm like,
well, I used
most
to.
Unhelpful.
Maybe this is
sound
maybe this is how
world.
I got maybe that's why I got fired. I'm sorry.
We got through it. It was funny though.
I could have been working on these peanuts I have that are the best of the barnyard Farmer Dave's. It says on the label, North Kakalaki Growed Kettle Cooked Peanuts. Now, wait, are you, I mean, so it sounds like part of it, this, why this sound check I did with the Tic Tacs was annoying. Part of it was because it just wasn't useful for trying to balance the levels.
It was just like funny. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, I mean,
but is part of it
really
also like, you're not, I often forget that you don't eat cheese, even though you tell me on like a weekly basis, but have I forgotten that you're one of the people who finds the sound of somebody eating, like, you know, anything to be kind of really annoying? Because there's no middle ground on this. Our listeners either are fine with it and almost enjoy it to some degree, or it is like nails on a chalkboard.
No, it doesn't really bother me. I mean, it doesn't.
Okay.
I remember listening to a show with John Roderick one time. A friend of mine works on a podcast with him, and they recorded a pilot, and they sent it to me. And I wasn't as familiar with Roderick's podcasting style, and it was a really good pilot. But I wrote back to him, like, you know, sounds good, but Roderick should maybe like stop eating. He just sort of sounded kind of bored, and he sounded like he was eating out of boredom during the show. And
I'm amazed that you can hear the sound, like you can pick up boredom eating.
You know how
just through the sound of it.
You know how there's that one. Speaking of Seinfeld, let's keep our references as sharp and fresh as we are. Wasn't there an episode of Seinfeld where George starts eating apples in order to seem nonchalant around women? Like, it was a whole like thing that he tried to do, like, to show that he wasn't
nervous. I don't remember
nervous.
That episode, but it sounds extremely plausible.
That was the kind of eating vibe that I was getting off of Roderick in the show. Like, not like really even eating into the mic like you, but every time he was talking, it sounded like he was just finishing a bite of something and kind of, you know, kind of clearing the rest of it out of his mouth as he's talking, sort of. And I said that to my friend. I said, hey, the show sounds great, but, you know, get Roderick to stop eating. My friend was like, that's his brand. That's essentially, like, that's how Roderick do. So anyway, it does not bother me when you do it, or really when he does it, I suppose.
But even so, I'm sorry about that now that I think about it.
Oh, no, it's okay. And I wasn't saying that, like, that wasn't me being Seattle passive aggressive. Like, I just actually thought it was kind of funny when you started eating again on the show. I was like, oh, yeah, that was a weird sound test. Although, if you keep eating a lot during the show, I guess it makes sense that I should check levels while you're eating. Like, that
well, only... that's the thing. I want to prepare yeah. you for what the. No, I'm in deference to our listeners who really hate the sound of it. I'm staring at this. At this pack of Tic Tacs, but I am not eating from this pack of Tic Tacs because I don't want to be annoying to them. But it's taking a lot of concentration. So if the show's a little bit worse, it's because most of my bandwidth is being taken up by remembering to not eat the Tic Tacs. I'm not joking, dude. Like, I don't like the mint Tic Tacs are fine. That's kind of the original one. And, you know, they're not bad. I don't mind them. But, like, these strawberry ones I had the other day, and now this fruit bonanza, it's like, I mean, honestly, I'm going to do my move, which is I'm going to probably order like a crate of them on Amazon.
Oh, my God. And don't even tell Carrie. Order it while you're out of town so that all of a sudden she just wakes up. She hears the beeping of a truck backing up into – I assume you have a loading dock at Burbank Springs
yep.
now. And then just the sound of a pallet of Tic Tacs dropping.
Or what if the back door of the truck just like lowers and just the Tic Tacs just come pouring out, just loose, not in any of their like – you know, packaging, just Tic Tacs.
That would be oddly satisfying. Like, that's more... I would rather Scrooge McDuck on that than a bunch of doubloons.
You know, you might be better off with that than doubloons. As has been pointed out on Family Guy, that the money that Scrooge McDuck dives into would effectively be a solid mass.
It would be rough.
And it would be really painful. I mean, you'd just be like almost like diving into concrete. Do you think that's weird that Petey Pablo is playing across the street from my hotel?
You know, you've referenced that song a lot. I didn't know who he was. I thought it was by somebody more famous. Is he really famous? I swear I have not heard the name Petey Pablo, or at least recognized it until like you mentioned it during your introduction.
Well, I mean, I don't know how widespread his fame is, but I know that song was pretty popular. Mm.
What's the actual
Carolina
song?
Raise Up.
Okay.
I don't know. If you just put in Petey Pablo, it'll come up. It's probably Helicopter maybe or something. But I love that song, and I just thought it was so funny because I was kind of singing it in my head to myself as I was driving down here. And then it's also the fact that it's not a particularly it's not a large venue.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just kind of like a restaurant that has like an area where you can play music. And so the fact that he's also playing this kind of small place across the street, it just was – I thought it was kind of interesting, but maybe that's just because I'm a notorious Petey Pablo head.
He must be. I'm not really seeing any. Could it be? Here's what our options are. Freak-a-Leak looks like his biggest hit by far.
Oh, then, yeah. I forgot. Freak-a-Leak. That was a big hit.
Oh, this is a different one, though. Let's take some calls from the request line.
Caller number one. Hey. Man,
there's no way this is going to end well.
No, not at all. Especially for the opening skit.
Yeah, I mean, you're just making work for yourself later. Having to
this so that's
Raise
not, that's
the song
not
is Raise Up okay, by Petey Pablo. Are you sure this is the song? Just a really weird long intro to it.
Yeah, I mean, this song is called "Raise Up" off of "Diary of a Sinner."
All right, here we go.
Well, there you go. Proof is in the pudding.
Did you know that song?
No. I mean, I know.
Really?
I think we've taken this journey before. I know we've had the conversation. I'll bet you we've played the music, too. The name, though, Petey Pablo, it doesn't ring any bells. Every time I think it's like something that I've heard of. But no, Petey Pablo seems like a fresh name to me. But you should go to the show.
That song was produced by Timbaland.
Oh, I can hear that.
I got to be honest. You kind of called me out earlier, which was fair, but now I need to call you out. This is embarrassing to me that your knowledge of Southern crunk rap is pretty scant.
Well, especially since I go around kind of bragging about my knowledge of it and the...
That's the irony. I mean, honestly, that's...
Oh, my God. This is so embarrassing. Dude. I'm looking at my tattoo right now. It is Petey Pablo. I didn't even know who this was. I just liked the face.
Man.
He's holding up his chains. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God, this whole time. You must think I'm such an idiot. We've probably had conversations face to face.
You actually asked for a tattoo of Too Short. But the guy didn't know how to tattoo Too Short, so he put Petey Pablo in, and you didn't actually notice.
I didn't even know.
Borderline racist, my friend.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's zero chance you're going to that show, though, right?
Well, no, there is because it's happening on Saturday night, and I'm going to be in Tampa. Were I here, believe you me, I would be at Secrets. It's the restaurant is called like – the restaurant sounds like a strip club. I'm going to be honest. It's called like Secrets Food and Entertainment. But it's just like you know this because you and Genevieve stayed at a resort called Secrets. You just like throw Secrets in the name of any business and it starts to sound a little scandalous.
Yeah, a little illicit. Yep.
So I would be there at Secrets Restaurant and Entertainment or whatever it's called were I still going to be in town here. Let us do this. Let's take a quick break.
Secret Island.
Come back.
Secret Island.
Secret Island.
That's your place, right? Secret Island?
Yeah. Yes, Secret Island.
Gotcha.
I went there last night and I had some dinner, and I have to be honest with you. I was the only customer, and it's a little, you know, like everybody who worked there was very nice. I guess they just reopened or like it was a different business for a long time. So they're just kind of getting, you know, sort of getting the ball rolling. But when you're the only customer at a restaurant, it's always a little bit like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just odd. You feel like, I almost feel like you just want to hurry up and finish your meal and not bother them anymore. I mean, everybody was super polite and nice, but then I kept saying like, is this typical? Like, is this a typical Wednesday night here? And they're like, oh, well, it's new and people are just learning about it. But anyway, I hear it's going to be bumping when Petey Pablo's there.
Oh my God.
The gal working there told me that somebody paid $300 to be in the front row of when Petey Pablo is performing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And I don't even know like how that kind of thing.
Yeah, how do you? Yeah, how is that? How do you do that? I don't know. But somebody paid $300 to be in the front row. I was like, okay, I don't know how you enforce that. It's not seated. It's not a live taping of Ask Me Another. Like, it's not. There's not chairs. It's Petey Pablo. But I guess that they will make sure that this person is able to stand at the very front of the stage. And what if Petey Pablo doesn't play Raise Up?
Or yeah, right.
The crowd.
What
will
if he
be
just plays American
mad.
Pie?
All right, let's take our break and then we will come back. We'll do top stories, emails, V-mails, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Stay with us. It's TBTL.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't he just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind.
Oh, man.
You're not going to believe this.
This song.
Go ahead.
This gets me to feeling, man. I just love, I love this song. I love that whole, I mean, I don't know if, I think I must have had a James Taylor's Greatest Hits tape or something, because I can't imagine all of the songs that I love by James Taylor were originally on the same album. But like the album that I have, which, you know, has all the big hits, including that one, just I love it so much. I can't even put it into words. I almost feel emotional hearing. I love that song so much.
Would you believe me if I told you that is Livingston Taylor's brother? Sorry, I got to. I've been doing this show 6 years or so with you, and I can't talk about James Taylor without referring to that. It's the only I've ever come up with.
And what remind me of
Livingston Taylor is just another musician who sounds almost exactly like James Taylor. They are brothers. Livingston Taylor did some kind of novelty-ish song called the Dollar Bill Song that you might have heard of, where he follows a dollar bill as it changes hands. And I know I worked at some folk festival or something in college where Livingston Taylor played, and I hadn't heard of him before. And then I heard him and I was like, oh my God, you're just like, you know, it's like Gallagher too, essentially.
Right.
And so I always just had a dream of meeting James Taylor and asking if he's Livingston Taylor's brother. Which
I'm trying to suppress the urge, but it doesn't matter. It won't be suppressed. It shan't be suppressed, my urge to tell you the story about that song. I was, I don't even remember where I was, somewhere in some small town doing a work thing, and I went to a bar to have a drink after the thing was done, and they had karaoke. This is like recently, by the way. And there was a guy there who he got up and sang. He was talking to me. He was a nice guy around my age. And he and a gal got up to sing some karaoke, and he was talking. Oh, the lead up to it was he was analyzing everybody else's karaoke performance. And he was sort of like, he was talking about them in a way that made me think he could really sing. And then somebody did a song, I forget, like some song. He's like, yeah, I've been trying to get that song down for years now. And like, he just was talking about it very analytically, like, oh wow, this guy must like really take this stuff seriously. And then he gets up there with this gal, and they do that song by James Taylor, and it is just a disaster. It's like,
they do Caroline on My Mind.
Yeah, and it's like he had had like an injury to his inner ear or something. Like, it was not tuneful, and the woman was worse. And then they just came and they sat back down like nothing had happened. And I was just like, I was trying to square the very analytical way this guy was talking about karaoke, and then the very bad performance he turned in, which it's no crime. But anyway, because I was in a mood, I got up there. I didn't know anybody in this bar, and I sang Neon Moon. because like that's a song that our friend Newman, RIP, used to always sing at karaoke. And I don't really sing that song. I barely know the words, but I was just, again, I was in a weird mood. So I got up there and I sang that song. And I came and I sat back down. And I mean, I don't think I was great, but I also, you know, I was relatively in tune, I think. And I sat back down, and the guy who had just completely annihilated James Taylor, he looked over, he goes, "That was almost passable."
What?
His assessment of me doing Neon Moon was, he goes, "That was almost passable."
Why would you say anything to a stranger at a karaoke? Why would you do that?
I know.
Did you punch him in the nose?
No, I didn't. But then I was like, in my mind, I was like, okay, well, we're wrapping things up here. It's time for me to go. I'm going to go back to the hotel. So I'm like closing out. And he's like, "Oh, you're going to have another drink?" And I was like, "No, I'm pretty good." He goes, "I'll buy another drink." And I was like, "No, I'm good. Thank you." And I didn't want to be as butthurt as I was about him criticizing my singing of Neon Moon, but I was a little bit. And then as I walked home, this is the part of the story that I really didn't want to tell. As I walked home to the hotel, there was like, you know, it was dark. There was nobody out. I quietly sang the James Taylor song Carolina to myself to make sure I could sing it better than him. and that is embarrassing.
Oh, I'm glad you told that story. I will say, hearing that story from here and, like, you know, being away from the situation, I am going to take a stab at interpreting that. Like, this guy is probably just one of those ball busty kind of guys, right? So when he takes a moment to, like, actually interrupt you and say that, he didn't say that wasn't half bad or that was almost good.
No, he said, like, it was almost passable.
That was almost passable. But that was more like probably he's sitting there making fun of everybody. He's probably just kind of a ball busting guy. He was probably actually impressed with it. And that's his way of bonding, sort of, right?
Maybe, but the thing that was odd about it was he didn't have, like, a smile on his face. Like, I know what ball-busty guys are like,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't feel like that. It felt like he didn't understand that – like, I felt like he didn't understand how bad he was at singing, and he didn't understand that saying to a complete stranger, yeah, that was almost half passable.
Yeah, sure.
Also, by the way, possible show title, almost half passable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he was in on the joke of being kind of ball busty. I think he just didn't really understand how that came across. And again, the whole thing was just so surprising to me because before he went up, I was like, oh my God, this guy might be like a professional singer or something, or like in a band, because he was being so just kind of calculating about karaoke performances. And he was talking about, I already mentioned this, but he was talking about some song that he'd been trying to learn and it was like, "I've almost got it down" or something. And I was like, oh, okay. But then again, the fact that I had to prove to myself that I could sing Going to Carolina better than him. So I wasn't singing it in my mind, Andrew. I was singing it out loud so that I could then feel better about myself and feel like I was better than this guy. So that's what happened that night.
I'm trying to think. Somebody was telling me a story. Oh, shoot. This is driving me crazy. It wasn't you. It might even be somebody who listens to the show. Yeah, I think it was our buddy Tiara. She was telling me a story recently about how, gosh darn it, she was applying for some sort of job, but it ended up being a very performative, almost like audition kind of thing, even though it was not a job. It was like a food server somewhere. I'm butchering this damn story. But she was surprised when she goes in, and it's almost like an audition with other people, and there's like performative things they're asking you to do. And at one point, the person who's in charge, the hiring manager, says to one of the women applying to, I believe, sing something. And the woman says,
what?
Do you mean out loud? Yeah, this was definitely Tara telling this. And she'll kill me because I think I'm messing this up. But I remember, and she was just like, yeah. I'm thinking to myself, you can't sing it. I mean, you can't, what, were you going to stand there and just stare at us and sing it in your head, not out loud?
Yeah.
Like, how can you sing?
Yeah.
You can't really sing in your head. I guess we all kind of like have a tune going in our head most of the time. But yeah, I mean, I knew when
you were
walking.
You're sure there was a performative aspect to the job? This wasn't like a Panera Bread company or something.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like a situation that
it wasn't
made me a little bit
request.
Uncomfortable. It sounds like it maybe was slight. I don't know. Maybe slightly inappropriate. It might have been like a restaurant. Maybe they asked her to sing "Happy Birthday." I can't remember exactly the details. You know me. I don't remember things. But and also, I wasn't planning on telling that story. It just hit me. Just hit me this moment.
That's fine. Let's just be open to the universe on this Thursday.
Absolutely.
Hey, I want to thank our donors of the day. But I'm wondering, should you play the music from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington? I'm just thinking about what makes the most sense. in our little world of me being here in North Carolina on this connection. Do you want me to play it?
No, I think I should play it, but I'll tell you what. You might not like this, but I don't have the version that you have. Can we play the version that I play when you're out?
Yeah,
my special Shirelles.
By the way, this can be the new song. I don't care. I mean, put it up. Guillermo, put it on the poll. That's what Dan Le Batard always says.
I had a feeling that I just had a weird feeling that it was a Le Batard-y thing.
You know, I mean, if the listeners, we could take a vote. Hey, speaking of the listeners, really quickly, I mean, I like this song a lot. I would be very happy for this to be the donor of the day music. I want to remind everybody that we are having TBTL to Mariners night on September 26th. It is a Wednesday. They are playing the Oakland A's. We are all sitting together. I got confirmation from the Mariners today, Andrew, that we will all be in the same section.
Great.
Which is good. We're getting a T-shirt designed. You and I were kicking ideas back and forth. I'm very excited about the T-shirt ideas.
Are we going? Are we going with the last one that I said off air that we're keeping secret for now? Are we going to try that?
I'm struggling in my mind to make a joke about what the most unflattering T-shirt we could possibly create is, but I couldn't come up with one. And this one is not that. It's a funny TBTL joke that is related to baseball that everybody will love. So you'll get a free T-shirt with your ticket. You'll get to hang out with Tens. You'll get to hang out with me and Andrew. It's going to be really fun. The Mariners are building the website right now. The ticket intake.
Ooh, this is getting real.
Yes. And so we'll all be there together on the 26th of September. Mark your calendars for that. And let's thank our donors of the day. These folks are keeping the TBTL ship afloat by donating to this year's TBTL-a-thon. I want to thank them. Megan Twomey of Horseheads, New York. Michelle Coggin of Portland, Oregon. Shannon Vandello of Seattle, Washington. Donna Yarling of Janesville, Wisconsin. And Jenna Blanton of Chicago, Illinois. Jenna, Donna, Shannon, Michelle, and Megan. That sounds like a girl group. I'd listen to that girl group.
Yeah. I agree.
Jenna, Donna, Shannon, Michelle, and Megan, thank you for donating to TBTL. Thank you for helping us keep doing this. 2,712 episodes in, 10-plus years. This is a minor miracle, and it's a miracle that has only happened because of the generosity of the TBTL listeners. So thank you for making it possible. We really, really appreciate it.
I'm only laughing because I somehow let it go on to the next song. Maybe we can just play a mix of Shirelles songs during
the
mix.
No, what we do, we'll go the Shirelles into Bossa Nova mellow hold music into Tim Heidecker's bass solo. Speaking of which,
today's a special
holy
day.
Holy moly. Yeah, I almost forgot about
Happy Blur's Day, Luke.
Did you remember that? Did you remember today is Blur's Day?
I did. I have some Blur's Days ready to go. We have I mean, we are just, people are blasting us with the Blur's Days. And we have a lot of Blur's Days
that's
to
good.
Go around.
I'm happy about that because I know that you've been like, in the past, you've felt the criticism of those, I think, a vocal minority who don't like birthday messages on the show.
They're Grinches are. That's the word you're looking
exactly.
for.
Exactly. Yes. So anyway, I'm glad to hear that the people are into it. I think it's fun. I like it. So I'm glad it's working out. Let's do top stories.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Oh, by the way, I went to the this is not the top story, but I went to the Wright Brothers National Monument. It's like a block from my hotel where they actually at Kitty Hawk, where they were the first heavier than air plane was flown. And it's kind of crazy the story of why, you know, because, you know, you're from Ohio. The Wright Brothers were from Dayton, Ohio.
The real birthplace of flight.
Well, it depends. How do you define birthplace? They designed the planes there, but the first place that it flew was here.
Yeah, because of wind. You know what South Carolina's got? Wind. You know what Ohio's got?
This is
an educational system that raised two young men to get us off this to defeat gravity and to get us off the Earth and to fly for the first time. Yeah, they took their machine to another state because it had better wind. That doesn't make you first in flight, South Carolina. But I don't. I haven't really given it North Carolina. I haven't given it a lot of thought, though. Anyway.
Wow, this is great. We got a legitimate beef between you and the state of North Carolina.
I think it's because they got their. This is so sad. This is so pathetic. Like, I think you know when they were making those special quarters for all the states, which I really liked. I think stuff like that is cool. I'm pretty sure that North Carolina got the first in flight one because I think their quarter was made first. So Ohio's quarter was first in aviation technology or something along the lines of that. It was like the most Ohio thing ever.
Have some dignity, Ohio.
I mean,
that sucks. You've convinced me, I guess. You know what I mean? The idea is that like the Ohio argument on this is that the Wright brothers, they thought of everything and designed everything in Ohio, and they can't. It was not just the wind, by the way. They needed other elements. They needed sand in case there was a crash landing; it would be softer. I learned this today, and they needed a lack of trees. And so Kitty Hawk, when they came here, was like residents. It was had 300 residents or something. But it's like it's sort of. Your point is that they brought their machine down here and then they flew it because this was the safest place to do it. But it doesn't mean that they were not North Carolinians. They were not. This is an Ohio invention in your mind.
Yeah,
there's a reasonable argument for that.
Yeah. So in 2001, North Carolina comes out with the quarter and it is just straightforward. First in flight. And it's got the biplane.
Yeah,
it's on the license plates.
Yeah.
But I just sort of feel like so North Carolina gets to swoop in and they get to be first in flight. So now I'm looking at the Ohio quarter, which came out a year later. So they're like, well, I guess we can't be first in flight, even though rightfully they are. So theirs is birthplace of aviation pioneers. And it's got the outline of Ohio, but then it's got two things. It's got that same kind of biplane thing.
I bet John Glenn's on there, right?
An astronaut representing both Neil Armstrong and John Glenn, who are both born in Ohio, as was Orville Wright, co-inventor of the airplane.
See, now that actually makes a little bit more sense to me because what happened there was it was mission creep. It was like – or it was sort of bragging creep. It was like, okay – yeah, we've got the Wright brothers are from here. They designed it. But then we've also got, like, the first guy in space, John Glenn. And then we got the first guy to walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong. So we need to, like, we want to give ourselves credit on all of these fronts. And so, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it says also here that, see, this is what confuses me. Why does it say, as was Orville Wright, co-inventor of the airplane with his brother Wilbur? Were they actually not products of Ohio? Because it sounds like if they were brothers, why wouldn't they both be products of Ohio? And then it says that they tested one of their early aircrafts in 1905 in a place called Ohio. Maybe one of them wasn't born there.
Yeah, I don't think. And also, they went to school in Ohio, although they didn't go to college. By the way, their older brothers went to college. They didn't because they were such tinkerers.
Really,
they were so like they were like such great, just kind of like designers of machinery and things, engineers basically. That they just decided they didn't need college, and they just, you know, they had famously their bicycle repair shop and other things. I'm a font of Wright brothers knowledge today, by the way.
You really are. I'm impressed.
And I'm actually, you know, peace and love to the North Carolinians in our listening audience, but I kind of, you know, I guess I can see both arguments. I can see North Carolinians being very proud that the first, you know, flight happened here. But I wonder, there's got to be some way to share, you know, there's got to be a Solomonic way to divide up the credit for this. Because I think both, I mean, I do think it's meaningful that it happened here. Like, it's the place where a thing happened. I do think that that's worth noting. But I also agree with you that Ohio deserves a lot of the credit because it, you know, it raised these guys that did this thing.
It's like if Henry Ford, built the very first car and then tested it in a different state, like just because he, you know, it was flatter. Like, does that other state get credit for inventing, for being quote unquote first in flight or first in automotives?
Or like Bill Gates invents the computer. I know he didn't invent the computer, by the way. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, Bill Gates invents a computer, the computer. But then they're built in Wyoming or something because there's like, you know, a cheap factory. Mm-hmm. Like, is it the Seattle where he went to the Lakeside School and where he learned and where he was raised? Does that get the credit? I'm laughing because I think I told you about this. I can't remember if it was on air or off air. But this like crazy meme that was going around that was like – it was – I think it was like an Instagram thing or something that was supposed to be – I don't know what lesson it was supposed to be teaching. Mm-hmm. But it was supposed to be a story of Bill Gates and his daughter at a restaurant. Did you see this?
No.
So it's just like it just proves how bullshit the internet is basically and how most people will believe anything. It's like this person's like Bill Gates and his daughter were at a restaurant and the daughter tipped $1,000 or something because he has a daughter I think who's maybe in her 20s now. And Bill Gates tipped the normal amount and the waiter – I mean already you know the story's bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. And the waiter – like this is just text written out on like an Instagram post kind of a deal. And the waiter said to Bill Gates, why did you only tip the regular amount, but your daughter tipped $1,000?
There is only one Gates, set of footprints.
Yes, exactly. This, it gets better. Bill Gates said to the waiter, that's because she's the daughter of one of the richest men in the world. I'm the son of a woodcutter.
Oh, my God. Also, his dad is super fucking rich.
Yes, his dad.
I mean, that's not even the point, but like his dad
was an extremely powerful attorney in Seattle. He was the head of one of the biggest law firms in Seattle. He was wealthy beyond measure. And also, woodcutter's not really a job.
Like, no. It's,
like, that's just like a made up. I mean, you could be a woodworker. You could work in a lumber mill. You could be a lumberjack. But woodcutter isn't – I mean it just – that reeks of like Russian sabotage of that meme. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's just one click off from a thing anyone would say. And it's also not profound. It also doesn't make sense. Like what's the lesson? Let's just imagine that that really happened and that Bill Gates was really the son of a woodcutter. What would the lesson to the waiter be?
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, the waiter kid, is not – yeah, getting – the waiter's like, not getting any extra money.
Like, she should tip $1,000 because she's the son of a rich person, but I shouldn't because I'm a rich person who made this money myself. Like, the fact that this was being reposted all over the internet, was just it made me so crazy because I was like, people are looking at that and thinking, I should repost that. That's an important lesson for today. I'm like, what is the lesson that you're trying to send with that?
You know, I am looking it up now, and it's somewhat on
us.
I didn't realize that woodcutter is actually a proper name for attorney at law. Did you know that? That's like kind of the technical. Apparently, that's the technical name.
P.D. Pablo Woodcutter Esquire.
Right.
Is everybody in Seattle talking about Mishka the otter, or am I just obsessed with it down here all on my own?
God, you know, I'm so out of things that it's always hard to tell what I'm missing and what is buried news. But I did not know about this until you put it on the show sheet today.
So the smoke has been really bad in Seattle. We've been talking about. Although I hear that it's kind of cleared out a little bit today. Because did it rain or something?
Yeah, it rained. Everybody's like, "Oh my God, it's so great! It finally rained in Seattle." You don't hear that often.
Yeah, the climate's not changing though.
No, everything's fine.
Anyway, there's a 4-year-old sea otter that came to the Seattle Aquarium. It was caught in a fisherman's net, and then it was taken to a some rehabilitation facility where they rehabilitated it, and then sent it to the Seattle Aquarium. But a little while ago, I think like last year, Mishka, the 4-year-old sea otter, just started being kind of lethargic and weird, and they did some tests, and they figured out it's because she has asthma. And they were worried about her, and so they hatched this really involved plan to train her to use an inhaler. Not like the kind that, you know, everyone's friend had, or maybe – I was jealous of kids who had asthma. I know that that's like non-asthma privilege because asthma is really scary and people can die from it and it really sucks. But I thought those inhalers were so cool when I was a kid. Like, which is funny because there were three – like having headgear, having glasses, and eating an inhaler. Those are supposed to be signifiers of being like a nerd or the person. I was so jealous. I would make fake braces for myself
paperclips?
Wow. Yep, like that's clippy? What I'm thinking of.
Looks paperclips. Like you need help thinking of paperclips.
I would dream of having glasses, and I thought inhalers were majorly cool. Again, our listeners who have had asthma will be like, yeah, right, try it for a week. But anyway, that's not the kind they gave Mishka. It's like it's a person has to help her with it. But basically, it's this kind of long plastic box that the one of the veterinarians or one of the people at the aquarium hold. But she puts her nose. She has to put her nose into this kind of round, like semicircular thing, and breathe this. You know, what are you actually inhaling when you are taking a hit? Is it like an antihistamine or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Actually, I have no idea.
Whatever that is that you inhale when you have asthma to help. They have trained her to breathe in when they squeeze this thing, which is so counterintuitive for an animal. And they had to use, they didn't say a buttload, but a lot of treats. And it took a long time. And they think that this is the only otter that they've ever heard of, or even maybe animal that anyone's ever heard of using an inhaler like this. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, for me, though, I look at this a different way. I see it as a gateway to vaping. I look to a future where all of God's creatures can just be, you know, pulling cotton, as they say on my brother and me, just like blowing huge vape clouds all over the place.
Dude, I went to I got some Thai food for lunch today. First, I was kind of bummed because it was a Thai restaurant, and I got in there, and then every item of food on the menu pretty much was Chinese.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, ah, I'm in, you know, peace and love, but like I'm in North Carolina. Like, this is where I was like, and if the people working there, I think they were probably originally from Thailand. I didn't need to tell them it was Chinese food. I think they knew it, but I don't know if the other customers did.
Right.
It was like, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, General Tso's chicken, not a traditional Thai dish.
Also not a traditional Chinese dish.
Right.
Out,
so. Right. There you go. Yeah. While I was in, it was in a mini mall. The food was pretty yummy, actually. I was able to get larb gai, which I like, which is a Thai dish, and it was very yummy. But next,
I'm not
a
larb guy. I'm not a Carl Weathers.
You know, one of the things is they spelled it different down here, like in Seattle or in Bellingham, the places I've gone to. Larb, like so larb is a sort of a salad. It's like chicken that's diced up and has all these spices on it, and it's usually in like kind of lettuce cups or in a thing of lettuce. And it's called larb guy, L-A-R-B guy, in Seattle and in Bellingham. And here it was called lob, L-A-B-B. Hmm. And I didn't know how to pronounce it. So I was like, is it actually lob or is it larb? But I wanted to let this woman know that like I get it. Like I'm from the Northwest. Like I eat real Thai food. I don't eat General Tso's chicken at a Thai place. So I was like, do you guys have larb? I was trying to like slur it so that she could identify it, or she would hear it however she wanted to hear it. I was trying to be cool to her. Point being, next to the Thai restaurant / Chinese restaurant was a vape shop, and they had some big sign in the window that was like, we're fighting for your rights, and then something about some political thing. And I was like, yeah, save it. I don't need you to fight. I know this is some right about people being able to pull this cotton like in an old age home / at a movie theater. Like whatever rights, and again, no offense to our vapors. It's great. I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. I think it looks ridiculous, but it doesn't bother me. It does not bother me for the second time this episode. But whatever rights they're fighting for, I feel like they're not that important.
Was it Duncan Hunter's vape shop?
Which he listed as a wounded warrior project. Did you hear his wife bought $200 worth of shoes at Dick's Sporting Goods but then said that it was because she was going on like a hike for the Wounded Warrior Project or something?
I didn't get all the details of their scams. Visa was telling me something also about like getting like they flew a dog somewhere. Is this correct as well?
Yeah, they flew. It wasn't a dog though. I think it was a. Was it a? It was an exotic pet.
Oh, okay.
And everything they. I mean, it was just what's. I have to say, like, what was so fascinating about this story to me was to look at the ways that they. Basically tried to describe like the ways that they lied about what they were doing, because it's lies that I could have seen myself telling. Like I'm not a misappropriator of expense reports. Mostly actually worse is that I pay for a lot of stuff that I'm not even that I could get reimbursed on, and I'm too lazy to get reimbursed. So I end up, you know, just giving the company money. I found out the other day that there's a per diem from LiveWire.
Really?
Even known about.
You know, I mean, yeah. I will testify to this. You and I both do this. You know, like when you and I are in our adventures for TBTL, like we could probably expense food and stuff, but like we don't.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll say that. I mean, right. We're both on the same page with this. Like, you know what? We're going to be eating anyway. Look at our lifestyles. Half the time we're eating, you know, even if I'm here at home, I'm going out and grabbing something for lunch. Like, so yeah, I will attest to that, that like you are not somebody who's trying to squeeze every nickel out of anything.
Right. But I can see. So what they did, basically, what they're accused of doing, Duncan Hunter and his wife, is basically spending campaign funds on just their lifestyle. But then they'd have to write in how it was, and it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then they'd have to, somebody would have to write a description of like why this was related to the campaign. And it was just funny to see all of the, like, they would just, now of course I can't think of any of the examples. And if I were to search it on the internet, it would disrupt our broadcast. But they just like wrote in all these things that I was like, yeah, that's actually not a bad, like I probably would have written that in. I would have believed that. I wouldn't have believed it, but I would have thought it was believable.
Right.
As
sure.
Like an explanation for why you needed to go to stay in a $5,000 a night suite in Vegas or something. There's something about the Wounded Warrior Project, though, that's mm-hmm. like they kept using that on things. And I was like, that's pretty low.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's about as bad as it gets with that kind of stuff. So anyway, everybody go look at a picture of Mishka in the Seattle Times because she is adorable. And there's a picture of her using the inhaler, and there's a picture of her on her back. She's after she did the inhaler, they reward her by giving her a crab, and she's on her back looking at the camera with a crab on her belly, and it will make your day measurably better, however your day is going. And then the second thing I wanted to tell you about was this Olive Garden Unlimited Pasta Pass that I tried to buy today for reasons I don't fully understand. It's $300 plus tax. There was 1,000 of them, and it entitled you, if you bought it, if you were one of the lucky few, free as much pasta as you want, as long as you dine in, an unlimited amount of pasta for the next 365 days. So less than $1 a day, you can eat all of the pasta that you want. They also have apparently like a weekly pass that you can buy that's like $100 for all the pasta you can eat in a week. And that one they have like thousands of. You can buy those. But I read about the story on Lifehacker, and so I went to the website. And when I went to the website, it happened to be 2:01 East Coast time in the afternoon, which was literally the moment that the website went live, and it was already sold out. And I clicked buy on it, and then it said, you're in the waiting room. And I was like, oh, shit. It was like you're trying to call the radio station to get concert tickets, and it's just, like, busy. And then you're like, it's ringing. It's ringing. And, like, so then I was, like, in the waiting room, and they were like, if anybody drops out, like, if their card doesn't go through or something, you might get a chance to buy a year pasta thing. And I was like, shit, am I going to do this? Like, because the scarcity of it made me feel like I needed to buy it just so I could have it. Just so because of the fact that most people weren't going to be able to buy this. But I don't really want to eat it at Olive Garden. That's not true. I do want to eat at Olive Garden. I mean, if I could eat every meal at the Olive Garden and there wouldn't be any waistline repercussions, I absolutely would.
Would that be your – okay, a couple of things here. Number one, just did the quick math on a calculator here. So that's like $25 a month. So you buy this thing, you have to at least – spend $25, and I assume that this pass is only good for one person. So I would say your average meal at Olive Garden is not $25 per person. So I would say one person would have to eat at Olive Garden at least twice a month for an entire year to make it worthwhile. Is there even an Olive Garden near you? Would this even be convenient?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that. There's got to be one in the greater Bellingham area. Again, you know, for me, the bigger problem would be that I'm always trying to be on my low carb grind. This couldn't be a worse designed restaurant for me as far as like, you know what I mean? Like I try to not eat carbs. What am I doing trying to buy a pass? But again, I just felt like this, it's like a golden ticket to carbs. And if I get a chance to buy it, I got to go ahead and do it. And then I don't know what I would have done with it. Maybe actually, I wonder if it's transferable. I wonder if you could sell it.
That's what I was wondering, if there will be a secondary market for this stuff, like online.
And then I started thinking, well, maybe I just should buy the week-long one. And then I was like, wait, you don't eat pasta very much. Why are you – like I got weirdly obsessed with There's something about saying if you have this, you can have as much of this as you want. Now, I'm not a big buffet person, though, which so that's mm-hmm. another part of how this doesn't make sense. Like, I'm not obsessed with buffets, but there was some for some reason today in my mind as I like as I looked at this website, at the Olive Garden website, I was just kind of like, man, I got to figure out how to hack this. I got to figure out how to get me some free pasta, or not even free pasta, but an unlimited amount, Mr. Unlimited amount of pasta from this place. But anyway, I don't think – by the way, I haven't checked back on the website because I don't want to interrupt our broadcast, and mm-hmm. we're using the internet to talk to each other. But who knows? I guess I didn't put my card in, so they couldn't have charged me anything. But I might have gotten through the waiting room. I might have had my chance at a year's pasta and missed it.
It's just not that good of a deal, though. Given their prices and then what you can get.
I think their prices are higher than you would – I think their prices are higher than you would imagine.
I mean, you probably go and get a pasta dinner there. You think that it's going to be more than $12 a plate?
Oh, my God.
I mean, before drinks, just like entree, you think that you're going to sit down
and I bet you fettuccine Alfredo – and will you look this up?
I am,
yeah. I think this is a knowable thing. I bet you fettuccine Alfredo at the Olive Garden is $20.
Let me see here.
Between 15 and 20.
I'm looking. We're going to figure this out. While I look this up, I have a question for you. It's a real
yes.
thought experiment, okay? Because this, okay. to me, this holds no appeal to me whatsoever. But now it's got me thinking about, well, what kind of chain box restaurant, not fast food, but of this level, like sit down, kind of American chain restaurants, your Chili's, your Outback's, your whatevers or your Olive Gardens, which would you pick? Would it be Olive Garden? Would that be your number one if you could get some sort of an unlimited deal?
Of all of the – so the fast casual – well, does
that's
Red
more
Robin
like,
count?
That's, yeah. Red Robin, that's a sit – it's got to be sit down with – it's got to be sit down with servers. And I think Red Robin is big enough to be national.
Well, it'd be Red Robin then, but I don't think that's fair because, I mean, they have Red Robins all over the country, but it's mostly, I think, concentrated in the Northwest. Let me narrow down the choices. If it was between Applebee's, Chili's, although I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed that Applebee's we went to in Missouri.
That was a great meal, man.
Like, that, sampler of everything that I got, I have to admit, it was delicious. If I had to choose between, Applebee's, Chili's, and what else is out there?
What's the
Buffalo Wild Wings?
Sure. You also have the Outback, but what is the one that I always confuse Outback with? Isn't there another steakhouse or something?
Oh, I think you confuse it with either Tony Roma's or Chili's, maybe.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, if throw Outback on the list, and then throw Olive Garden. I'm taking Olive Garden, man.
Yeah,
I love that shit. Like, I would seriously, if I weren't always trying to watch my figure, I would. I love a giant bowl of fettuccine Alfredo. So
I'm
I think,
going.
And also when I was a kid, the Olive Garden was I've told this story before on the show, but we were not a family that would ever go to a place like the Olive Garden. That seemed very fancy to me. And Olive Gardens are almost always situated next to a Red Lobster for some reason. There's they're just twin, you know what I mean? They're mm-hmm. They must be owned by the same company. And when my dad took me out for a dinner. We didn't go. We were trying to go to the Olive Garden, but in Alderwood. But it was so packed that we went to the Red Lobster that was next to it. And that was when my dad took me and sat me down and gave me a watch that was a promise for me to not lose my virginity before marriage. And I wore the watch.
Wow.
And I know I've told the story many times. And then eventually, a year later, so I lost the watch, and I had gotten someone pregnant within a week of losing the watch.
That was a magic
watch. So I don't know, the watch might have had some power to it that I didn't really understand. But I just remember thinking the Olive Garden, it was very fancy in my mind. And so, I have no problem with their food. I don't think it's high quality, and it's probably very bad for us, but I could get into that.
I'm not seeing any indication that Red Lobster is owned. Darden Restaurants owns Olive Garden, which also owns Longhorn. Wait, was it Olive Garden I was supposed to be looking up, or was it Chili?
Yeah. Olive Garden
is in cahoots with Longhorn, Eddie V's Prime Seafood, the Capital Grill.
I think I'd want to get prime seafood from somebody named Eddie V.
No, me neither.
Hey, I just got these clams. Eddie, those don't look okay. What do you mean?
I got clams. See a doctor. Get rid of it. Here's how much fettuccine. That was weird and gross and didn't even make sense. Fettuccine Alfredo, $15 at the old Olive Garden there. So I think
all right, so you were pretty close. You said 12. I said 20. So I think you were a little bit closer.
Did you say 20? Oh, I thought you said 15. So anyway.
Well, I hedged my bet eventually. Hey, on the subject of dirty clam jokes, there's a place down here that I kept seeing signs for, and it's of a type. It's like there's always some place called like Dirty Dick's Clam Shop. You know, like it's like there, like this place is called like Dirty. It's literally called like Dirty Dick's Crab Shack.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a kind of a crab shack that always has to involve some like weird sex joke and some guy who seems scruffy. I swear to God, like anywhere you go, like near the ocean, there'll be like Dirty Dan's Crab Shack. It's like, why do we want the guy running these shacks to be
so
like,
dirty,
gross?
Oh, I'll tell you what, so man. Dirty. You're gonna. I'll bet you their cocktail menu is just chock-a-block with double entendres.
A treat. You know what? Maybe what I'll do is after the show, drive over there to Dirty Dick's Crab Shack.
Take a picture.
Oh man, I'm sure that's just a murderer's row of just shitty cocktail names.
Are you in a Nag's Head? Because there's two Dirty Dick's locations, by the way. I feel like I don't know if you've seen the latest Spider-Man movie, but like one of the, you have Spider-Man, you know, Peter Parker, and then he's got a friend. This is not, I don't think, spoiler material. And his friend, who has no superpowers or anything, wants to be his guy on the computer. He's like, every superhero or every action star has like the guy back home who's on the computer, like looking things up for him. I feel like I'm your guy on the computer today. You got a Dirty Dick's Crab House in Avon, North Carolina, and a Dirty Dick's Crab House in Nag's Head, North Carolina.
I think I'm probably closer to the Nag's Head one.
Okay.
But can you do me a favor, since this is the show where we look up restaurant menus?
Yeah.
See if they'll show you the cocktail list there.
Okay.
I just feel like, I mean, I feel like those are going to be some real treasures.
Yeah, let's see here. Let me go to their homepage. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like a cartoon of a special-looking guy missing some teeth who just looks. It says, I got my crabs from Dirty Dick's Crab House.
So don't you feel like that's not an appealing notion? I mean, I understand it's a joke and they're trying to be funny, but it's like it's a joke around food that's just like unappetizing. Also, I mean, would I bring my kids there? And I don't think I'm a prude. I'm surprised that the restaurant has prospered because I think it's a pretty dumb name.
Well, yeah, but in especially like kind of vacation locations and stuff like that, people are like, oh my God, you got to go to Dirty Dick's. Oh, it's crazy. I'm looking at the regular menu now. It's one of those menus that is just huge. It looks like if you print this thing out, it's like 20 by 25 inches, probably laminated, and leaves no amount of space wasted. Here's what you got on the specialty drinks. You got a Krabby Mary instead of a Bloody Mary. That's the best I got for you so far. You do have a Dirty Banana, which is a frozen drink.
Oh.
But we're not really. You got a Bushwhacker. Some pretty standard looking stuff here. This bit may not
really
go anywhere. Yeah, let's see here. You got a, you know, could we have both been wrong? What if it's just like it's a really like nice kind of cocktail lounge?
Yes. Run by a Lutheran family.
Right. No, you don't really. You have Kendra's Island Delight. I mean, maybe somebody named Kendra is. But no, they're going with pretty standard drinks, like the classic.
Well,
mojito.
I consider that a disappointment, not just
me
because
too.
I've ground the show to a halt. And
yeah.
That's my bad. But because if you've already committed to Dirty Dick's, I got my crabs from Dirty Dick's.
Right.
If you've already committed to that, why stop there? Why get classy with the menu? I mean, there's just a whole variety of entendre-fueled crappy drinks that
I know.
That you could be serving and slinging.
All right, I know you know about TBTL the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL the newsletter? Because you can just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
We should do our emails and V-mails.
Here I go once again with the email every week. I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
I tried to eat some Tic Tacs, and I realized I didn't have time. So I pulled them out. I bailed on it.
Well, maybe I can help you out with that a little bit. I want to say, by the way, to the listeners, I'm making a decision here, unless things go really downhill from here. I know that there are tiny little internet things going on with Luke's connection today, but they're not that bad. So I'm not going to go the extra mile to try to clean that all up. It's very minimal today, but if you're hearing small little things, you think there's something going on with your iPod or your Zune, don't worry about it. That is on our end. but it's not too bad, and I hope it's not too bad for you. Meantime, okay, Let's not let that get in the way of our special Blurs Day.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun.
Here we go. Yeah. Yeah, just ease into that. I'm going to start off with something that is a very special Blurs Day. I told you we don't do just general announcements during Blurs Days. It actually has to be somebody's Blurs Day. And in this case, this might just be the youngest Blurs Day we've ever had, because Erin sent me a note today saying she wants to wish a special Blurs Day to her friend Michelle, who just had her baby today. She says, congratulations on your second baby entering this world smoothly. Happy Blurs Day to the little nugget. I hope both of your daughters grow up to TBTL 10s,
right,
so that they can enjoy the richness and silliness it brings to our friendship. So that's from Erin. Congratulations. Aww.
That's awesome.
Yeah, to Michelle and her little nugget, which I hope is a proper name there. I hope that's a proper noun, little nugget. If you don't name the kid little nugget, I don't know what to tell you. Great rap name, by the way. Nick and I on the show yesterday talking a lot about Nick is impressed with the fact that all the Lils are coming back to the rap game. Did you know that?
Yeah. I guess I didn't know that. Who's out? Well, I mean, like Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah, that was one on this list, but there's a bunch of other ones that I haven't heard of, and you're more likely to know them than I am.
Right. I'm notorious for my knowledge of Southern crunk rap.
No, it is true. Although, who's got the tattoo? Wendy says happy Blurs Day to her fiancé, Mackenzie of Cheyenne, Wyoming, a longtime 10 and donor. Robin wants to wish a happy Blurs Day to Robin, I don't know Robin's gender, but Robin has a 5 who's turning 5 years old on Monday. So happy Blurs Day, Erin, from Robin.
Oh, you know what I just realized, Andrew?
That this is sweet, thick bass.
Yes. And I have to unclick a bunch of stuff on my computer, but this is the perfect time for me to, have those audio drops that Famdemort sent me, because I forgot to bring my little sound machine. But what I can do is I can play. Let me.
Ooh, that's coming in hot, my friend. Real hot.
All right. Sorry. I blame Fam for that. What else do I have here? I've got
Nice.
I've got this one.
All right, we'll keep that at the ready as I continue to go through these, because I got a big Blurs Day load today. Dylan says, I would like to give a Blurs Day shout out to my TBTL children, my actual sister, Adrian, who stays connected with us through TBTL Inside Jokes. Her birthday is today. And also my wife, I don't do it very well, Julie, who is celebrating her golden birthday this year on the 26th.
That's my wife.
I can't say that. Love to you both. Dylan, your
happy
TBTL
birthday.
Daddy. Do you know what a golden birthday is?
Oh, come on. What's that?
Well, Dylan said it, not me. Do you know what a golden birthday is?
Ugh. And do they have a tape of it?
Gross.
Golden birthday is, yes, I know. It's the when you you turn the age of the day of your birth. Like, I'm May 8th, and so when I turned 8, that was my golden birthday, right?
Right. So Julie must be turning 26.
So 31 girl would be the oldest golden birthday you could possibly
That's
have.
That's right. Yeah. After that,
just
you're
did that
out
right
of
in
it.
My head.
Wow, that was pretty good. April says she'd like to request a Blur's Day shout out to her longest running co-bro and 11, James. His birthday was Tuesday. They're moving across the country for the third time in 9 years, and he's saving up shows for his drive. So God knows when or where he will hear this.
Well, happy Blur's Day wherever you are in space and time.
How about this? Diana, Illinois, wishing her dear friend Elizabeth a very happy birthday. She says she got me listening to TBTL over a year ago, and she has been listening for a few years and would love to get a happy birthday from her friends, Luke and Andrew. Happy Blur's Day, Elizabeth. This is a crazy one. We got one Blur's Day, two shout-outs. Two separate emails I got from people wishing the same person a happy Blur's Day. Joanne says,
popular.
Yeah, happy Blur's Day to my son and fellow 10, Jake. You're not only a dazzling donor, but a dazzling son. Love mom and dad. Hannah, the sister, also getting in on the action. Happy Blur's Day to my fellow 10, dazzling donor and brother, Jake. Love you, brother. You get the impression that Jake has been letting everybody know he's a dazzling donor, though, don't you? Like,
yeah,
it's no
well,
secret.
Jake, happy Blur's Day, despite kind of being, honestly, a little cocky.
Being a dazzling donor is actually a pretty big layout.
Yes.
So
it is.
Thank
it
you.
Is and we
thank
had,
you, Jake.
And I have to say, we had a lot. We have a lot of dazzling donors this year.
Yeah.
A lot of people stepped up their donation, and thank you, honestly. And so we're going to have fun. That's like, you know, that's where we'll read a message. Pretty much anything you want us to say, within reason. During your time, and it's not an insignificant donation, and so thank you, thanks Jake. You get to be proud of that. You get to tell everybody that you're a dazzling donor, and happy Blur's Day.
You get two, Jake. You get two. You used them up on your family. Candy, this is the last one. Candy says happy Blur's Day to Carolyn. Her birthday is tomorrow. She's a new donor to TBTL, and she's rocking the hot dog mug at work. Carolyn, we have some pretty sweet T-shirts too, if you're interested.
Well, happy Blur's Day, everybody.
Happy Blur's Day.
Do we have any thoughts on what we should call this episode of the show?
Blasting through Blur's Days? No, let's go back to the list here. This is what happens when you find a ludicrous in the Alps. Almost half passable and a golden ticket to crack. Oh, actually, it says a golden ticket to carbs. Sorry, I got Dirty Dick's Crab House on my brain.
Ooh. I mean, we could call it Dirty Dick's Crab House, too, but.
Ah. Can you, what about
so
Dirty
what
Dick's
do you
Carb
like
House?
All right, fine. I like it.
I don't know. I mean, we could do that. Or I'm totally fine also. Well, a golden ticket to carbs is not actually terrible either.
My only concern about that is, it again, makes it sound like maybe we spent the whole episode talking about my dietary
right.
stuff, which it was a little bit of it, but it wasn't. I don't know. Again, I don't know if that's like something when people see that they're like, oh, good. Or they see that and they're like, oh, great.
So do you want me to change it to something intriguing like Andrew's Garbage Day? Something the listeners really want to tune in for?
Yes. Hey, we got an email from our friend Television's Chris Hayes saying he found your garbage conversation riveting.
That's true. So what am I talking
about? One out of one MSNBC hosts can't be wrong.
Right, yeah. All right, I don't know. I'll go with one of those. What do you like? This is what happens when you find a ludicrous in the Alps, I guess.
Well,
that's
is it. That too long? I like the ludicrous one, but does that mean, can we fit that in? Do we have the room for it?
I have ways. I can make anything
okay.
happen.
All right, well, then let's go with that one.
Great. And, what are you feeling for music?
Well, how about some more James Taylor?
Sure. Let's see what James
what is your,
Taylor.
What else do you like by James Taylor? Do you remember I like Steamroller?
I don't know
I like,
that song. You got Fire and Rain is the very popular one that I know. And then you've got a friend, which we know is written by, what's her name?
Lexington Taylor.
Right.
What's his name? Livingston sister. Taylor?
Yeah, Livingston Taylor. But wait, what? It was written by, what's her name? I was obsessed with her like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Carly Simon.
Carly Simon, yeah.
Did you know that Carly Simon's dad was the Simon from Simon & Schuster?
No, I didn't. No shit.
And I learned this because my mother-in-law is reading Carly Simon's biography, and we went and hung out with them, and she was telling me all this. Carly Simon's mom. Okay, so Carly Simon and her sisters, you know, they had nannies and stuff growing up because they were from a pretty wealthy family, I guess, Simon and Schuster. And so her brother, they wanted her brother to have, because the dad was working all the time, kind of a male nanny slash role model slash someone to kind of like throw the football with. And so they have this like 20-year-old guy or whatever, this really young guy. And Carly Simon's mom and the young guy start taking up together. And there was a secret passageway that was built in the house between Carly Simon's mom's bedroom and the bedroom of the male nanny. And they would like sneak back and forth through this passageway.
Wow. I just love passageways. I mean, that's to me.
And that is the basis of the song, You've Got a Friend.
Yeah, right.
You just crawl through the passageway and you know wherever I am, we'll have coitus. That was a low point for a show that's been full of low points.
All right, so here's the deal. I'm looking at the album, so he is all over. For some reason before, I was having trouble finding him, but he's all on Spotify. You got Sweet Baby James. That's his most famous album, right? That's from 1970. That's got...
I don't know what's on any of his albums because I was always listening to like a greatest hit. So I just know his greatest hits. What about like There Is a Young Cowboy song.
I think you know this way better than I do. There is a Young Cowboy. Is that what you said?
Well, that's the lyric, but yeah, I forget. I can't think of what the what the actual name of the song.
It looks like the song is Sweet Baby James.
That's Sweet Baby James?
I think so.
Okay,
according to the internet.
I want to find like a medium, not like a deep cut, but like not. The most, can you just like go through what are his top like 10 songs?
Here are the top 10 on Spotify. Fire and Rain, Change featuring James Taylor, which makes me think that's not him. Carolina on My Mind. You've Got a Friend, Mexico, Sweet Baby James is number 6. How Sweet It Is. Oh, How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You. Your Smiling Face, Something in the Way She Moves. Isn't that the Beatles?
Oh yeah, that's another good one. No, it's his version. Oh, I mean, it's not even, it's not the same song. It just has the same name.
Oh yeah, the Beatles song is called Something, and then the number 10 is Shower the People.
Oh man, how about How Sweet It Is?
How sweet. Do people need to hear it though? After I've already sung it.
I love this song. I don't care. As I reach and then pass through midlife, this kind of music sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love this shit. So we'll go with that. And we will thank you for listening and being part of TBTL. Remember, TBTL at the Mariners, September 26th. Get your tickets. Well, you can't get your tickets. They're soon to be available, but block that night out. And we'll be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you, and including the latest on the Song of the Summer contest.
Yes.
Keith Lillo is going to help us do that this week.
Yes, so, we're not going to. That's right.
GFTB is busy. He's entertaining out-of-town people. So anyway, that's all happening tomorrow. Go Mariners. Go eat a bagel. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Thank you, baby. Yes, I do.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Feels so fine.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
At night, wondering where would I be without you in my life. Everything I did was just a bore. Everywhere I went, seems I'd been there before. But you brightened up for me all of my days. The love so sweet in so many ways. I wanna stop. Thank you, baby. I just want. Thank you, baby. Oh, yes.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
It's just like sugar sometimes.
How sweet it is.
power out.